Today's daf is Me'ila daf Yud Zayin. We're holding on the very top of daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's shir is once again sponsored by David Hamm in honor of his wife Margie, and by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and by an anonymous sponsor, Lizchus Gemar Chasima Tova, for the members of BKNW and all of Am Yisrael. So we're holding out the Mishnah on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah is going to discuss the level of Tumah and the shir to be Mitameh have to be the same in order for two things to be mitzdarif with each other. Again, the whole parak is about siruf, so in order to be mitzdarif, two things, as far as tumah is concerned, they have to be on the same level of tumah, and they both have to have the same shear for tumah. The Gemara is going to discuss whether dam and basar of two different shratzim can combine with each other for tumah, and then the Gemara is going to tell a story. It's been a while, we're going to have a story, a long story, that relates to the source for tumah's dam shratzim. But it's a fascinating episode. And then on Amud Beis, that story is going to take us a while. Then Amud Beis, at the Mishnah is going to discuss the tziruf of pigol and nosar for tumah purposes, and also tziruf for sharetz, nevela, and basar hameis, also as far as tumah purposes are concerned. And then the next mission, the last mission on the daf, is going to talk about siruf of different foods for many different halachos, including halachos relating to Yom Kippur. And we actually have two Yom Kippur connections on today's daf. So we'll get the daf Yom coincidence out of the way right at the outset. Two Yom Kippur connections on today's daf. So says the Mishnah, Dam Asharetz V'Basar Mitzar from Zem Zeh. The Dam of Asharetz and the Basar of Asharetz could be mitzdarif with each other to equal up the shear of Ka'adasha, which is the shear of Tumas Ratzim, Klalam Rabbi Yeshua. And the rule that we said in terms of being mitzdarif, different things for Tumah, is as follows. Kol shatumaso vishi'uro shavin. If the level of the chomer of the Tumah is the same, meaning one of them is they're both Tumas Erev, or they're both Tumas Shiva, but you don't have one that's Tumas Erev and the other that's Tumas Shiva, and they have the same shear of Tumah, you have a chatzi zayis of one nevela, chatzi zayis of another nevela, or a chatzi adasha of a sheret and a chatzi adasha of another sheret, so those are the same shiurim, so then mitzarfim. Then they can be mitzarfim with each other in order to generate tumah. But, tumaso velo shiuro, let's say you have a sheret and a nevela. They both have to the same level of tumah, it's both tumas erev, but the shear of a sheret for tumah is only kadasha. The shear of a nevela for tumah is kizayis. Or shiuro velo tumaso, you have basar min ameis and basar of a nevela of a nevela's behema, where the shear of both of them is a kezayis, but the level of tumah is not the same, because someone who touches a meis is tami shivas yamim, whereas a nevela is only mitamei tumas erev. Or lo tumaso velo shiuro, or if neither is the same, you have a mace and a sheretz, where a mace is mitame for shivas yamim and bekazayis, and the sheretz is only mitame liyom echad, and it's only bekadasha, then ein mitzarfin. Then they're not going to be mitzarfin with each other to be mashlin the shir of tumah from one to the other. So you need both tumaso and shiuro shove in order to have a tziruf. So Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Zeira, and on the side of the page it changes the girsa, very key girsa change, ubo, it changes it to. That when the Mishnah says that dam hasheretz could be mitzdarif with basar hasheretz for the shear, that's only if the dam, it comes from that very same sheretz that the basar comes from. But dam of one sheretz cannot be mitzdarif with basar from another sheretz. So that is Rabbi Zeira's chiddush. Even though the Mishnah said dam and basar of a sheretz are mitzdarif with each other, that's only ubo. It's only dam and basar from the very same sheretz. So asks the Gemara, Mosif Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. So they challenge Rabbi Zeira from a braisa. You know, the pasuk tells us that Eila hatameim lachem b'chol hasheretz kol nogeba. So it says Ela Hatamein. Hatamein Melamit Shehein Mitzarfin. That tells us that the Shmona Shratzim that are mentioned in that parsha are all mitzarif with each other as far as Tumah is concerned. Vafilu Sheretz v'Sheretz, even one Sheretz with another Sheretz, or Sheretz v'Dam, or Sheretz the Basar v'Sheretz with Dam of a Sheretz. Bein Mishem Echad, and that is whether they are from the same min of Shratzim, a Cholad with another Cholad, or an Achbar with another Achbar, Bein Mishnei Shemos, or whether it's a Cholad together with an Achbar. So you see that Dam of Sharetz is Messiah for the Basar of Sharetz, even if they're two separate Shratzim. Again, so Rabbi Zeira said, where it's Ubo, where it has to Dafka be from the same Sharetz. So I'm Rav Yosef answers Rabbi Zeira, Lo Kasha. Kan Bekulo, Kan Bemuktsaso. The Brisa says that Dam of Sharetz is Mitzarif with the Basar of a different Sharetz. That's talking about when you had two full, complete Shratzim in front of us, and then you took some of the Dam out of one, and some of the Basar out of the other, and you were Mitzarif them. So then they're Mitzarif Lutumah, because we had them when they were Shalem, when they were absolutely Chashuv, and therefore the Tziruf can happen, because we saw them in B'melol Chashivusam, in all of their glory. Whereas the Mishnah that Rabbi Zeira explained, our Mishnah, to be talking about Dama Sheretz with the Sheretz, with the Basar Sheretz, is only when comes from the same Sheretz, that's when you never saw the Shratzim Bishle Musam, that it was already broken up into pieces by the time they ever came in contact with each other, and by the time you ever saw them. So in such a case, they don't have the full Chashivus, and since they don't have full Chashivus, they don't have the ability to be Mitztarif with each other. It's an unusual Svara, that because you never saw them Bishle Musam, therefore they don't have the same Koach Hatuma that they otherwise would have had. Normally we would assume Koach Hatuma is a Metzius, so there's nothing to do with how you relate to it, but that's the svara the Gemara is suggesting. Uminatemra says Gemara, it's an unusual svara. Where do you find such a basis for a svara like that? That it really depends whether it's bekulo or bemuktsaso. Midetanya, we learned it from a brisa that relates to the tuma of a revi'is dam min ames. The halacha is that a revi'is dam min ames is metame even ba'ohel. So the midetanya, the brisa tells us nishvach al ritzba, if the dam spills on the floor, vahayim Koma ketafres, and it spills on a slanty part of the floor. So ihel al miktsaso, if a person is mahil over part of the dam, and he bends over and he's over some, the dam is now spread all over the floor because it's spilling down the ramp, right? And he's mahil over part of it, tahar. So he's tahar because he was not mahil over revius of dam. But ihel al kulo tame, if he's mahil over a shir shalem, over the entirety of the dam, then he's going to be tummy. So the Gemara explains, my miktsaso, what does the Braisa mean when it says miktsaso? Ilema miktsas dam, if it means that there's a difference between being mahil over some of the dam and being mahil over all of the dam. V'am Rabbi Chanin Amar Rebbe, revi'is dam shehegis ba tahora, that a revi'is dam of a mace that you are stirring with some sort of kli, with a stick inside of a kli, the person who is doing the stirring does not become tameh, because by being magus, by doing the stirring, some of the dam becomes balua in the stick that you're stirring with, some into the kli that it's in. So it turns out you don't really have a revi'is dam in the kli anymore. So even when you're being magus dam in a kli, you're certainly being mahil over all of it. Nevertheless, you don't become tameh because the dam is not all b'makom echad. Some of it is balua b'kli, some of it is balua b'kane, and some of it is just sitting there pooled in the kli. So even though you're still touching part of the dam that's balua in the kana, even though the dam that's balua in the kana is still touching the dam that's in the kli, it's still not mitzarif because they're considered to be in two separate makamos. And therefore, in our case as well, where the dam spilled on the floor, why does the Braisa say that if you're ma'ihil al kulo, you're tameh, the dam is not all in one place? Some of the dam is over here, some is over here, because it's spilling down the ramp. So elulav shema mina kan bekulo kan b'miktsaso shema mina. So it must be that what's the chilik, that there's a difference between tumah that comes from a davar shalem and tumah that comes from something that's not a davar shalem. The brisa that says that if you're ma'ihil and revi is dam, that's not all in one place, that you're tameh, is talking about that all the dam came from a meis shalem. Whereas the Rabbi Chanina talks about being megis a revius of dam, that you're tar because it's not all in one place. That's because all the dam didn't come from a meis shalem. That's the only way to be miyashiv. So you see that there is such a svara of a different intensity of tumah when something comes from from a davar shalim, when something comes from a davar chashuv. So shema mina. So that's in fact the raya. Now the Gemara is going to tell the story that relates to the very source for the idea that dam of shratzim is metame. Shal Rabbi Masi ben Charash as Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai beromi. Rabbi Masi ben Charash asked Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai in Rome, minayin ledam shratzim shu tame. How do we know that dam shratzim has the same level of tuma as basar of shratzim? So Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai right away responds, dam akra vezel lechem atame. So the pasuk is an extra pasuk because they had already listed the eight shratzim in that pasuk and in the pasuk that follows it, and then it says eile hatmeim lechem bechal asharetz. So why does it have to say vezel lechem atame? So it must be telling me that dam is metame just like basar. So Amalei, the talmidim said to Rabbi Masi ben Charash, wow, chakim le ben Yochai. We see that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is a real Talmud Chacham because he was able to darsh in the pasuk just like that and give you the answer. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Masi ben Charash says back to them, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai wasn't mechadish anything just now. Talmud Aruch befiv shel Blazer Rabbi Yossi. This is an old tradition from the Blazer Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai learned it from him. So that's all. But there's no great chiddush that he taught us. How did we know that he learned it from the Blazer Rabbi Yossi? From the Maisa that follows. We're about to tell the Maisa where we see that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was able to learn this from Rabbi Blazer Rabbi Yossi. The Achronim deal, why would Rabbi Masi ben Charash ask a question that he already knows the answer to? Meaning when the Talmidim say, ooh, that was a good answer, he says, everyone knew that answer already, so why don't you ask the question? So it could be that he was just trying to investigate if there's any other shita out there. This is how I learned. I want to know if there's someone else that has some other drasha that they're able to learn from. So that could be that he was trying to do. It also could be, some of the Achronim suggest, that since from the Maisa that the Gemara is going to bring, it turns out that Rabbi Shimon was makbid on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi for giving this answer, that he got upset at him, so maybe Rabbi Masi ben Charash wasn't sure what Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yochai's hakpada was. Were you upset at him for giving this answer because he didn't like the answer, or because he didn't think it was appropriate for him to give answers in your presence? The Talmud can't be more alacha b'fnei Rabbo. So he wanted to see, what's he going to answer? What's Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yochai himself going to hold? If he says the same thing Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi holds, so then I know that he had no problem with the answer, he just didn't like how Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi did it. But if he says different than Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, then I'll know that he was makbid and that he was upset because he thought Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi gave the wrong answer. So here's the Maisa. Shapam achas gozer malchus gezeira shalo yishmur as ha-shabbos v'shalo yamolu as b'neim v'sheyivu as ha-nidos. One time the malchus made a gezeira against the Jewish people to prevent us from three mitzvahs. Shabbos, Mila, and Nida. And the Marsha points out over here in Chidushi Agados, there isn't very much Chidushi Agados in Maseches Me'ila, as you might imagine. There isn't very much Marsha in Maseches Me'ila. It's like five lines in the whole Maseches Me'ila. So it's not hard to find once you find the Marsha, it's not hard to find this Marsha. The Marsha says that these mitzvos were specifically targeted to be Mavdil Ben Yisrael La'amim. By Mila, the Pasuk says, Vayula Os Bris Ben Yiv Ve'Nechem. And by Shabbos, Ben Yiv Ve'Nechem. And and women who don't have Mila have Tevila, because the Gemara says Maseches Krisos Lo Nichnas Ravasein Bebris Kishekibla Satora El Bemila Utevila. So women who don't have Mila, their Hachnasa Lebris was Aliyadei Tevila. So it's what separates them. So all three of these things, it's Nida, Tevila, Nida, Mila, and Shabbos that separate Jewish people from others. So that's why they made a gzeira. It was a gzeira of assimilation. Halach Rabbi Ruvain Ben Strobli Vesiper Komi. So Rabbi Ruvain Ben Strobli went and he got a non-Jewish haircut. He was megaleach, the hair that was toward the front of his head and left the hair long toward the back of his head. So the question that the Rishonim and the Achronim deal with is why he was allowed to do that. It's usher to get this haircut. It's darkei amori. The Gemara says at the very end of Masechta Sota. So why was he allowed to do this? So Tosos explains Masechta Baba Kama daf pei where is it in the Maseches Baba Kama that Krovim L'Malchus are allowed to be Mestaper. It's Nisim Minatar B'chukosayim Lo Sadechu. The Rambam Paskins in the 11th paragraph of Vodazar, you're not allowed to get a haircut like the Goyim. It's a violation of B'chukosayim Lo Sadechu. The Rambam has an interesting formulation in the 11th paragraph of Vodazar. He writes that just like a Jew is so obviously different from the non-Jewish world, B'deyosehem, in terms of our Midos, and in terms of our Hashkafos, in terms of the way we think and what we value. So too, we also have to look different. We have to dress different. We have to have different haircuts. But the Rambam, Rav Aaron Kahn once pointed out in the Musa Shmuz, the Rambam makes an assumption. He makes an assumption that it's obvious that we're different, b'day oseim, that we're different in our ashkafos, that we're different in everything. So the Rambam in, over there writes that there's an Isser Min HaTorah, v'chuk oseim lo selechu. So how are they allowed to be matir, krovim l'malchus, to do such a thing? So the Kesef Mishnah, and that Rambam says that Amidu l'fnei HaMelech was for the sake of Hatzalas HaKlal, and that's why they were allowed to do this, to save the Klal Yisrael. Furthermore, says the Kesef Mishnah, the Torah doesn't give the details of this lav. So this is one of those examples of l'masra kasev al chacham, that the chacham get to decide what does and what does not constitute b'chuk oseim lo seleichu, and therefore they determined that it's not ra'ui to ask for such a thing for krovim l'malchus. The Bach in Yardeas in Kufay and Ches says that the whole Isser is not a maisa Isser of getting such a haircut. It's dependent on kavana. Even though normally you do, you eat chazer, whatever your kavana is in eating chazer, you violate the Isser of eating chazer. Specifically, when it comes to b'chuk oseim lo seleichu, it has to be that your kavana is to go b'chuk oseim. But if your kavana is just to have an audience so that you can try to affect positive things for Klal Yisrael, and your kavana is not to try to be like them, then it's not begeder the Isser of b'chuk oseim lo seleichu. So anyway, so he got this haircut v'halach v'yashiv imahem, and he went with the Gedolei HaMalchus. He sat in their courts. Amar lahem, Sir Reuven ben Shovli says to the Gedolei HaMalchus, he says, let me ask you something philosophically. Mi sheyesh lo oyev, ye ani o yashir. If someone has an enemy, do they want them to be poor, or do they want the enemy to be rich? Right? If you really want to hurt your enemies, you hurt their economy. That's where it really hurts. That's where sanctions against them to hurt their economy is really going to do something. You don't. What would you prefer? So Amar lo ye ani. Obviously, you want your enemy to be poor. So then, why do you want the Jewish people working on Shabbos? Shouldn't they be better off if you take away a work day from them to make a day that they're not able to work? They're obviously going to be much poorer then, and then you'll really defeat the Jews. Amru Tavis Amar said, "Oh, you're saying very good." So it's interesting because if the Marshal is correct that these gezeros were targeted toward assimilation, so it wasn't about an oyev. It was about we all want to be the same. Elamai, even when it's targeted toward assimilation, it's because there's an understanding from the anti-Semitic government that when the Jews assimilate, it'll be bad for the Jews. Meaning, it's a way to defeat the Jewish people. That when we assimilate, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to protect us as much. So Tavis Amar Libatel. So he said, let's be Mevatel Gzeira against Shabbos. Ubitlu, and they were. Chazra Amar Lahem, then he said to them, Mishishlo Oyev, if a person has an enemy, Yachish or Yavri, do you want your enemy to be weak or do you want your enemy to be strong? So Amar Lo, Yachish, oh, that's an easy one. We want the enemy to be weak. Amar Lahem, Imkein Yamolu B'neim, L'shmona Yamin. So maybe it's a good idea that they have a Mila when they're little babies, V'yachishu, and then they'll be weakened by having a Mila. And the Sefer Mi'il Yaakov, one of the Achronim, says, Dafka when they're babies, meaning if they get a Mila when they're older, so they'll recuperate more quickly. But the assumption is that there's a certain formative stage in an infant's life where if you weaken him then, he's never really going to fully recuperate. So they said, let's do this Mila L'shmona, and then he'll be weak. Now, I don't know why the government couldn't say, okay, they need a day off, we should mandate a day off, Sunday. You know, they need a Mila when they're a baby, the seventh day. And they could have, but okay, I guess they weren't clever enough to do that. So Amru Tavis Amr, they said, you say good, Ubitlua, and they were Mevatel that Gezerah. Chazav Amalem, then he said to them, Mishi Yishlo Oyev, Yirba O Yismait, if you have an enemy, do you want them to have a lot of to have a lot of children or to have fewer? I mean, do you want them to have a massive army or you want them to peter out and then ultimately not exist? So Amru Lo Yismait, they said, well, certainly it's in our best interest that our enemy is fewer in number. Imkein Lo Yivalu Nidos. So then probably you shouldn't have them being Boel Nidos, because the more you allow them to be with their wives, the more they're going to reproduce. So I don't know that about that cheshbon either. Meaning, generally speaking, if a person observes the halachas of nida, so there are exceptions. There's something called orthodox infertility, where a person, when they observe the halachas of nida, by the time the woman goes to the mikveh, they've missed her ovulation. But generally speaking, on an average woman's cycle, if you observe the halachas of nida, especially with all the chumras that we have, it, if you observe the halachas of nida, so around day 12, after she got her last period, is when they're going to be together again. His sperm count is going to be super high because they haven't been together in 2 weeks, and that's prime for having children. It's adraba. It's more you'll have more children. So I don't know what the cheshbon is. The assumption is that if you're boel anida, you can have more kids. So anyway, amru tavis, maybe mikvos weren't available, or maybe it was freezing cold and women couldn't get to the mikveh. So that could be an issue. Then you can go years. They say Rav Moshe Feinstein's wife, when they were in Russia for 4 years, didn't have a mikveh, and that's why there's such an age gap between some of his children. So okay, that's going to be nisma'it, the number of people. So amru, so they said tavis amru, you say good ubitlua, and they were mevatel that gezera as well. So then hikirubo, they realized that shehu yehudi, they realized that he must have been a Jew. It's interesting, it doesn't say that they found out that he was a Jew, but he kirubo shehu yehudi. I saw in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta, it goes on a whole thing about how tzura of a Jew is to have a beard, and that a Jew should never be clean shaven, and goes through all the different maramakomos in history that suggest that. And he said this is such a maramakom that when he got the Goyish haircut, he kept his beard. And they're like, what's this guy doing with a beard? And then they realized that he must be a Jew. Okay, but odi shlomar, they found out some other way that he was a Jew. Maybe it was because he managed to get rid of all the gzeros in one meeting. All the gzeros against the Jews went away, and they realized, why does he, what's his interest in the Jewish people and these gzeros? So hichzirum. So they brought back all three gzeros. So now they're back in trouble. They're back where they started. Amru mi yelech v'yivatel gzeros. So they said, okay, who can we send? Who's going to go and be mevatel the gzeros? So they voted on yelech Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, shum melumed benisim. We'll send Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai because he's melumed benisim. He's already had multiple miracles, because this is after the story from Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel, where he was in the cave when he was escaping from the Kesa Romi, and obviously his very survival was an ace. So maybe now we'll have an ace that will happen, and it'll save Klal Yisrael. Va'achrav mi'elech, who's going to go with him? You can't send him to a Makom Sakana alone. So Rav Lazar Rav Yossi, we'll send Rav Lazar Rav Yossi together with him. So Amar Lahem Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says, the father, right, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi's father, Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, says, "V'ilu haya abba chalafta kayam, if my father was alive, yicholinatam lomer lo tein bincha, do you think you ever would have gotten away with this to say to send his son? Meaning la hariga, where he could easily get killed? Meaning you want to send my son? I don't think you ever would have had the chutzpah to send me if my father was alive. This is such a dangerous mission. So I'm going to protect my son. I'm going to put my foot down over here. I don't want my son going." So Amalem Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon said, "Ilu hayochai Abba Kayim, Yicholinatam Lomer Tein Bincha Lariga." Yeah, Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, "I'm going, and if my father was alive, he probably wouldn't want me to get killed. But you see that I'm willing to be machnas myself into sakana, to be mevato the gzeros rose from Klal Yisrael." L'chora, the raya is not a great raya, meaning he's trying to say that I'm being machnas myself into sakana. That the Rabbi Yossi was trying to say, I don't want my child to be nichnas into sakana, and that's exactly his response. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, ano azilna, yeah, I have no problem being machnas myself into sakana, right? Akedas Yitzchak was a greater nisayon for Avraham Avinu than it was for Yitzchak to give yourself over l'shem shemayim. It's a madrega, very serious madrega, but even a greater madrega is to be willing to be machnas your child l'sakana. So Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, I'm willing to go. I just don't want my kid going. So Dilma Anishle Rabbi Shimon. And what was he afraid of? So you'd think he's afraid of the Malchus. They're going to behead him. No, he's afraid of Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon is a kaptan. Rabbi Shimon sometimes gets upset at people. He doesn't, when he sees that they're not behaving properly. And when Rabbi Shimon is makbid on somebody, they get punished immediately. So he didn't want his child in the proximity to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai might get upset at him. And then he's going to do something to him. To Mistafina, because I'm worried about this. I'm worried that he's going to be makbid, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is going to be makbid on him, and it's going to cause him some sort of trouble. Tosfos points out, because he knew that Rav Shimon was darko lahakbid. So kabbalah lay dilo leanshe. So Rav Shimon says, how about this? I'll be makabel right now. I'm not going to do anything to him. I won't lay a finger on him. He's going to be fine. Va'afilu hachi, and even though he was makabelis, anshe, he couldn't help it. He still got him punished. He still was makbid. Why? What happened? K'shoyim mahalchin b'derech, and this is the whole reason we're bringing the stories for this paragraph, of this two lines right here. K'shoyim mahalchin b'derech, when they were going on the way to Rome, nishla she'iluzu b'fneim. Someone saw two great rabbis and said, oh, I had a shayla in learning. So they figured they would go ask them the shayla. Minayim l'dam ha'sharetz shu tameh. How do we know that dam ha'sharetz is tameh? This is why we're quoting the story here, because this is the source of dam ha'sharetz becoming tameh. So, ikim piv, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi sort of whispered it in a way that's not the normal manner of speech. Va'amar v'zelechem hatameh. And he says, ah, it's a pasuk, v'zelechem hatameh. It's an extra phrase, teaches us that dam ha'sharetz is metameh. Amalei Rabbi Shimon me'akimus v'secha t'nikr she'tamal chacham hata. So Rabbi Shimon says, from what you're saying, I could see that you're a Talmud Chacham, because you answered correctly. But al yachzor bevet alavit. But because you decided to answer the shaila in front of me, you're never going to return home to your father. And Rabbi Elazar got very, very sick right away. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi got very sick because Rabbi Shimon was upset that he was mora halacha b'fnei rabbo. In the Son Kachim, he points out that why did he do it then? Meaning, he said, oh, that's why he was whispering. That's why he was ikim svasav. So it wouldn't be a violation of mora halacha b'fnei rabbo. Mehechitesi, where do we ever find in the sugya of mora halacha b'fnei rabbo that it's not a violation if you say it quietly? No, it's still a violation of mora halacha b'fnei rabbo, even if you say it quietly. So no, what you have to say is, this wasn't a halacha. He wasn't being mora halacha. They didn't ask a shayla halacha l'maisa. They were talking learning. They were asking and learning. What's the maramakom? How do I know that there's such a din? Meaning, no one was questioning whether there's a din. It was minayin. How do we know that the din, that dam sharetz, is tameh? So he was giving him a maramakom and learning. But afal pikein, he thought it would be disrespectful to be so presumptuous to give such an answer in front of his Rebbe, and that's why he was ikim sosa. But still, Rabbi Shimon was makbid about it. Rabbi Shimon was not happy about it, and therefore he said that he's not going to return to his father. Rav Shachter pointed out that nowadays you have to assume that there is some level of mechila that works, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskens that a Rebbe can't be mochel on this, because you have to assume that it's like a haraz shah, that it has to be that it, I mean, like Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't handle everything. So Rav Shachter sits in front of the YU based medrash. If none of his talmidim, which are all the other Rebbeim in the yeshiva, would ever answer a shayla, he would never breathe. I mean, it would be just be constant. So you have to assume, just to make life livable, that there are some exceptions. But the two people traveling on the road, so that Rabbi Shimon got upset. Now, Rashi and Tosfos fill in the end of the story that Rabbi Shimon then remembered, oh, I promised his father that I'm going to bring his son back alive. So then he davened for him and he was nisrape. So Yatzel the Krasso, when they got to Rome, Yatzel the Krasso ben Tmalion, a certain demon, a certain shade came to greet them, and he says, you want me to come with you? I'll help you out. So Bacha Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon cried out, "Va'amar, Mashivcha shel Beis Abba nizdamin lamalach shalosh pamim, a shivcha of Beis Abba of Avram Avinu, Hagar had a malach speak to her three times." The pasuk says when she ran away from Sarah, "Va'yomer lamalach Hashem shvi al gvertech v'esani tachzi da, va'yomer lamalach Hashem harba avarazerach v'yisaper mirov, va'yomer lamalach Hashem inelchar v'lad bein." And we assume that those are three different malachim that she had min hashemayim. And Vani lo pamachas, and I didn't have a single malach, I just have the shade, I have a demon coming with me. But nevertheless, Yava nes mikol makom, the nes will come wherever it comes from, so I'll take it. Meaning, I'll take whatever assistance I'm being offered from above. So Kadim Hu, the shade came to the Beis HaMelech before Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar got there. Al Bibarte de Kesar, and the shade took over the body of the daughter of the Kesar. So she was seized by a demon and she was going nuts. So Kimata Hasam, when Rabbi Shimon got to the Beis HaMelech, he saw that that the daughter of the Kesar was seized by a demon. He knew exactly what was happening, and the Rishonim add, and the daughter started screaming out, "I need Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I need Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm not leaving until Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai comes." So it was set up for him to walk right in and save the day. So Amar, Rabbi Shimon says to the shade, "Ben Tamal Yon Sei, Ben Tamal Yon Sei." Vikim and the Karolei, and as soon as Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar called Ben Tamal Yon out, Nafa Gazal, he leaves the Kesar's daughter's body. So Amar Lahon, the Kesar said to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, "Wow, I owe you one. She'ilu kol madi islachon l'mishal, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." Vayilinu l'ginsei, and he brought them into his treasure house, and Lishkol called the bow, and he said, "Take whatever you want." So Ashkachahu igra, right away they went searching for the edict to be mevatel mila and Shabbos and Nida. Shaklu v'kro uha, they found the edict and they tore it up, and that was the end of that gezera. Behind it, Amar Rabbi Rabbi Yossi, and it's from that ma'isa that the famous Gemara in Yuma comes from. Is machlokas in the Avodas Yom Kippurim, when the Kohen is mazeh by the Parochas, does he have to be mazeh on the Parochas or only near the Parochas? And Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi reported back, and this is how we know that he made it back, because from this Gemara that he reported back, Aniri Isia Baromi Vavala Kamati Bedamim, I saw it in Rome, and there are drops of blood on the Parochas. So you see that the Kohen has to be mazeh tafka on the Parochas. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah.